Well, we're going to continue with the message three of our series, The Missing Piece. The Missing Piece series for the December, month of December, which is the most wonderful time of the year, Christmas. And the question I have for you this morning is, are you missing the missing piece? And my third message is going to be titled, When You Can't Find the Missing Piece. When you can't find the missing piece. A few years ago, I was on my way to pick up my children. I actually forgot about my children, unfortunately. And it happens to some of us dads to just miss, you know, to leave on time. And I was on the other end of town hoping to make it in time because I left really late. And by the time I got on the highway, got stuck in traffic, it was just this anxiety of what will kids think, especially because it was two of them. It was the young one and the middle one. And we're thinking, I was late multiple times, but I was never this late. This is not going to be good. So as I was driving, I was about 20 minutes late. And as I was arriving on a school property, I saw them and the teacher was there. And then we went into a car and we were talking. And one of the things that the older one said was, it wasn't, you know, it was just unease. I was just thinking that something happened to you. You know, it was just that feeling of, you know, where's dad? Why is he? And he was late in the past, but he's really late now. What could have happened to him? It was this unrest, this feeling of waiting for me to show up and me not showing up. It was after 20 minutes that I showed up. But isn't that sometimes what we feel when we are waiting for something or someone? It's, I don't know if you ever find yourself in a waiting period, but it's one of the worst feelings in the world to wait, isn't it? One of the worst feelings in the world is to wait. It really can catch you off surprise, by surprise when you're waiting for something and it's not happening. And I looked that up. I actually never knew what waiting meant and what the definition of waiting was. And this is what the definition of waiting is. The action of staying where one is. You know, delaying action until a particular time, until something happens. So waiting for something, waiting on someone, we have all been there, haven't we? Waiting for someone to get ready in the morning can be a very frustrating experience. Waiting on someone to call or text you back or text you first. Waiting on that special someone to arrive in your life, someone that you are hoping to spend your life with. Waiting on some sort of advancement, upgrade, waiting on some sort of career update, maybe even a health situation. Waiting and waiting and waiting can be a really bad feeling. Staying where one is not easy. And sometimes it's painful, and sometimes it can cause us to feel the unease and to lose the peace. It can cause us to feel this unrest. It can cause us to miss out on the peace that God has for us. So, waiting on people is okay sometimes. It can be painful. But what about waiting on God? What about when we're waiting on God to do something? When he's there, we think he's there, and we're waiting on him to do something, to move, to accomplish something for us, and then asking questions, is God really there? Does he really care? Can he really hear me? Is he just playing with me? Is he not all powerful? Is he even real? I'm still waiting. And when I thought about this question of waiting, or why do we have problem to wait, and why he's waiting so hard for us. What's the opposite of waiting? The opposite of waiting is hurry and rush and just being in, just not, just keep moving forward. That's the opposite of waiting. And the culture that we live in, the society that we live in, we are used to having things done instantly, right away, right now. We hurry from when we go to a grocery store. If there is few lanes and if there's a lane that has the least amount of people, that's the lane that we will choose because we hate waiting. When we're going through a drive-thru, and if the line is way too long, we dare not to go into line because we don't like to wait. And people will say, well, time, you know, you only have so much of the time. And time is money. Every minute, every second, every hour counts. And our default response to the things in life and to people, when they ask you how you're doing, oftentimes we say, fine. Like I mentioned last year, we say, I'm fine. Or when people ask you, how are you doing? And I caught myself doing that this morning. When someone asked me, how are you doing? How was your week? I said, busy. It was a busy week. Well, how's your week looking going into the next week? Busy. It's going to be a busy week. Okay. So how's the Christmas looking? It's going to be busy with the family. And we talk about this notion of busy, and we're always busy, and we almost wear it like a badge of honor. We're always occupied. We want things done. We want things done right away. Let's get it done. Let's get it done now. And we are programmed to be and trained to be in hurry as a society. But the question is it worth waiting on God? And are good things from God worth the wait? That's the question this morning. I believe that God, the way God designed us and the makeup that we have, he didn't mean for us to live this life in a hurry and to just keep moving from one thing to another and just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. And actually, I love how John Mark Comer put this. He said, hurry is violence on the soul. We're in a hurry. What hurry does, it actually destroys our soul. And it oftentimes, as we rush through this life, we're not even realizing when we're in a hurry, we actually lose the meaning and we actually lose the peace that God wants us to have when we're in a hurry. We have seen relationships fall apart because a lot of people, two people were too young and they thought they were too smart and they hurried to get married and then it didn't last. We've seen people who lose loved ones and relationship with the loved ones because they were in a hurry to get certain thing done, get certain place, and the relationship has departed. We've seen people leaving the best churches because they were in a hurry to get their needs met, and they just they were not willing to wait. We've seen people getting in a wrong relationship over and over and over again because they were in a hurry and they thought that this is the chance, this is the opportunity, I cannot wait any longer. So the question is, why can't we just wait on God? Why do we have to take things into our own hands? Why do we have to rush? Why do we lose peace so easily? And I believe the answer to this question is because we haven't learned to wait on God. We haven't learned to trust. We haven't learned to be still. We haven't fully grasped what it actually means to truly trust and rely on God. Do you trust God's timing? Do you trust God's promises? Are you waiting on God? And what does it actually mean to have faith in God? What does it actually mean to have faith and trust in God? I believe that there's promises that God has given to each and every one of us. And usually for us to have that promise fulfilled, I believe there is a period of waiting for all of us that we have to endure. almost every promise that I believe that God's given us, it involves waiting and patience. And what really faith and trust in God is truly, faith and trust in God means surrendering to His perfect timing and embracing His flawless will with unwavering patience. This is what faith and trust is. Faith and trust in God means surrendering to His perfect timing and embracing His flawless will with unwavering patience. Waiting on God and fulfillment of His promise may include waiting. But I believe that that waiting period that we are in, or we could be in, is supposed to accomplish something in us and for us. And the Christmas story is a great example of that waiting period that has happened with people who were promised a Messiah for a very long time. I'm going to read from Matthew 1, 20, 23. This is going to be the opening scripture that we're going to focus on. And this is what it says. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, Joseph, in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet, and this is the prophecy that was said, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. The prophecy that was prophesied 700 years before Jesus appeared onto the scene by Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14. This is the prophecy, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son." Now, those people at that time, God's people, knew a lot about waiting because they didn't wait a day or a week or a year or 5 or 10 or 20 years. They waited, since this prophecy, 700 years. Did you know there's 333 prophecies prophesying the Messiah is going to come? And before Jesus actually arrived to the scene, and 300 of those have been fulfilled already during Jesus' time on earth. So how long does it take to get the promise fulfilled? How long do we have to wait? Well, the people were waiting actually from the very beginning. If you look at the scripture and if you go to the very beginning of Genesis, you will see what happened with Adam and Eve. They have sinned. They decided to go their own way. And then God arrived onto the scene and he said all these things. And one of the things that God said to them in Genesis 3:15, he says this, "Seed of a woman will crush serpent's head." And a lot of theologians believe that this is the first prophecy of Messiah and Savior that is about to come. So this, as being the first prophecy of messianic prophecy, dates back to thousands of years before Jesus actually came. So people were waiting for a very long time for Jesus to come. But what was God doing while a lot of people were waiting? What was their posture? If you look at the period between Malachi and Matthew, which is this dark period, everybody calls it the period of darkness, when there was not a single word from the Lord, from the prophets. During this time, God did not speak. He did not have a prophet. He did not say a word. And it's actually not even recorded in the Bible. But during this dark period, even though God was not speaking, God was still working. And God was doing something behind the scenes. And sometimes it feels like, and they probably felt that multiple times over, why is God silent? Why can't I even have a single word from God? Answer, sign, feeling, anything. There was none of it. It was just pure silence. And just because God was silent, it does not mean that He was not present. See, we often get this idea, well, if God is not speaking to us right now, if we're waiting in a waiting period and He's not speaking to us right now, that He's not there. That He doesn't exist. He doesn't care. He's not, we arrived on this conclusion thinking that, well, If he's not answering me right now, if he's not helping me right now, then he's not there. If God really was there, if he's really caring, I'm in a rush here. I can't wait. I need to hear from him right now. You better answer me, God, right now. And then we think that God is not there if we're not getting our answer. But just because God is silent, it does not mean that he's absent and he's not here. There's a lot of promises, multiple promises in the Old and the New Testament, especially New Testament with the Holy Spirit coming to dwell with us. God is saying this over and over again to Moses, Joshua, Abraham. He said, go, I'm going to go before you. Be strong, be courageous. I'll be with you. I'm with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be with you. So with the promise of the Holy Spirit coming, when Jesus was about to leave and he said, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you always at all times, we know that he's always present with us. And that's what Emmanuel actually meant, God with us, that he's always with us through the Holy Spirit. So while we are waiting, is God working? Is God active? The timing of the God timing and our timing is different. The timing of what's been happening there before Jesus came and when Christmas actually happened was God's timing. And there's a scripture actually in Galatians 4 where Paul is writing to the church in Galatia. And he actually mentions this Christmas story clearly. And he said something that stood out. And this is what he says, Galatians 4:4-5. He says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. There was a set time. There was a perfect time. There was the fullness of time when Jesus arrived in a perfect time onto the scene to save the lost. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the time was right. In a different translation, it says, but when the fullness of time had come. And this literally means, this Hebrew word, pleroma, means a complete, full measure, the perfect time. It means that the time was fully pregnant. And you know, when for those of you who had an experience of giving birth, women, or you were a father, When the baby is about to come, there's nothing that's going to stop that baby from coming. When the time is right, the baby is going to come. There's nothing you can do to stop it. So that's how this is what this actually means. When the time was full and perfect timing, God answered and he sent the Messiah, the Savior. So God will always answer in his perfect timing. He will always answer in his perfect timing. And how do we know that this time was perfect for Jesus to come? Well, 700 years and then 400 years of darkness, we see there was a lot of things that have happened during that time that if we look to the history and we're really curious and see what happened, there is a lot of things that came about that set the stage for Messiah to actually show up. And some of the things that showed up, some of the things that happened, there was Alexander the Great, some of you that know history, who took over the world. I mean, that's why he's called the Great, because he just took over everything. And he made one language, and then there was a lot of things that have kind of transpired from that. He translated the Bible, the Old Testament was translated into Latin and Greek. It was actually accessible to a lot of people. Then the Greek developed. Socrates was, he was a philosopher of that time. The philosophy started becoming a really known stream. People started asking questions about life, about existence. There was a lot of things that kind of prepared for Messiah to show up. Even Romans, Greeks took over, and then they were in charge, but then Romans came over and then took over the Greeks, the Gentiles, and they started ruling over the world, and there was a lot of things happening at that time. Polytheism was very known. A lot of gods, people had their own gods. People believed different things and stuff like that. But then Romans also, what they did is they were the inventors. They built the roads. They built the buildings. They came up with medical tools, with invention of so many things that was happening during this very dark time. So it was all preparing a way for Jesus to show up. And Jews who were oppressed under oppression and oppression over oppression, they felt like they were out of place. They were conquered. They were polluted. They were oppressed. Their hope was running so low. Their faith was even lower. And they were convinced that now the only thing that could save them in their faith was the appearance of Messiah. Not only were they primed and ready for Messiah, but God was moving in different ways through different circumstances. And this was all preparing a way for Jesus to show up. Sometimes we feel like God is giving us a silent treatment and he's not talking to us when we're waiting. He's not responding. He's not doing anything. But when that is happening, when nothing is happening, God is still working. When we feel like nothing is going on and things are not the way they're supposed to be and we're waiting and waiting, God is still actively working and pursuing. He's still making things happen behind the scenes. You see, we see a lot of cases in the Bible where Abraham and Sarah, they had to wait 25 years to fulfill the promise about their son Isaac that was supposed to arrive. Joseph had to wait 13 years in prison before ruling Egypt. Women with issue of blood that came to Jesus, she had to wait 12 years. Men who could not walk for 38 years met Jesus, and he was able to walk again. God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. Just because things are being delayed and things are not happening right now, that does not mean that God is saying no. When you're waiting, God is working. When you're waiting, there's an answer being provided. There is a miracle. There's a provision that is being worked behind the scenes. And maybe it's ready, but maybe you're not ready to receive it. Maybe God is still working on it. Before God does something for you, God wants to do something in you. For something that you're waiting and praying for to receive, maybe something has to change in you first to receive that. What we need to do is we need to align ourselves with God and what is he doing in our life right now. We need to get on the same page with God and what is he doing in our life right now. And oftentimes people say, well, just because God is not, he's silent, he's not listening. Just because God is silent does not mean that he isn't listening either. He's hearing you. He's listening. As a matter of fact, he's the best listener that you will ever have. He's the best friend that you will ever encounter. He's the one that truly cares about you. See, Job, an example of Job, when I look at Job and his life, and this is a very unique situation with Job, what has happened, what he's gone through, but you can look at what's happened from chapter 1 to chapter 38. God did not say a single word for 38 chapters of Job. There was nothing that God has said. There was a lot of complaining, not from Job. There was a lot of complaining from other people. There was a lot of different things. But it seemed like God was just waiting for things to work itself out among the people and in Job's life. And he was waiting, but he was listening carefully to what was being spoken. He was listening carefully to what people were saying. And he was listening and listening and listening until the chapter 38. And then God finally had a response for Job and everybody involved. And maybe sometimes God wants us, if we're waiting for something, maybe God just wants us to talk things through among ourselves. Talk to each other. Talk to our leaders. Maybe he's just waiting for us to actually go and resolve what we need to resolve with people that we need to resolve with. Maybe he's just waiting for us to humble ourselves and go first and forgive someone that we need to forgive while we're waiting. Oh God, I just need you to change that person. But maybe he's just waiting for you to realize that it's not them that need the changing, but you need the changing. Before God does something for us, he wants to do something in us. I love the story of the apostle. Jesus said, just go and wait and pray, and the Holy Spirit will come. And he didn't give him a timeline. You know, it's really easy when, you know, somebody tells you, hey, you know, we'll do this in 14 days. And you get to do a countdown. Like the Christmas season is so fun with the kids because they get to count down till Christmas. And you have, you know, you're getting married and you're counting down the days when things are going to happen, you know. And I don't know, you have a vacation to go to and you have a countdown on and you're just like seven more days and six more days and five more days and finally I'm going to be getting away from here for my vacation. It's so easy when you have the clock and you're counting down the days. But what happened with the apostles, I love when Jesus told them, just go and pray, the Holy Spirit will come. They didn't know it was going to happen in 50 days. It did happen in 50 days. But they just went together in one accord and they prayed. And they sought God. And they sought God. And they said, Holy Spirit, come. Come, we want this power to come. And it was day one, day two, day three, day four, 50 days until the power of the Holy Spirit rested upon them. It would be so much easier if God said, well, you're waiting 7 days. Here it is. It'd be so much easier, wouldn't it? But what waiting is, it's this purposeful journey designed to deepen our hunger for God and draw us closer to him. That's what the waiting period is for. It's a journey that is supposed to deepen our hunger for God and draw us closer to him. What hurry tends to do, it tends to keep us distracted and busy, and it removes the beauty of waiting and trusting God and his promises. Well, God has promised this for me, so I need to get it right now. God said this, and I need to get it right now. What hurry does, it will affect how we receive and how we give love. Receive love from God and give love to people. Hurry does not allow us to truly surrender to God. Have you ever noticed when you want to spend some time with the Lord in his presence, that usually it doesn't happen in a hurry. It doesn't happen so quick. Sometimes you have to wait on the Lord. And we have this tendency to put God in a box and say, well, you know, God, I'm just going to give you 5 minutes of my time today, and if you don't move in the 5 minutes, goodbye. If you don't speak to me in 10 minutes that I have on my calendar, nothing is going to happen. Surrendering to God, leaning into his presence, his purposes. We tend to lose peace when we hurry, when we rush our time with God, when we rush our time in our relationships. The worst is when you want to do something with someone special and you're in a rush. Nothing good happens in a rush. You know, waiting is supposed to change us. It's supposed to make us better, not bitter. It's supposed to grow our faith and our trust in God. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says this, God, he has made everything beautiful in its time. God has made everything beautiful in its time. Faith is not about having all the answers, but trusting in the one who does. What fear does, and anxiety and all those things, they come in to steal our peace and the hurry, and those things just come and we get swept away in this anxious life, thinking that this needs to happen right now, not even realizing that actually it can steal our peace if we're not careful enough. If we're not careful enough, waiting can steal our peace. And here's the things that we need to do if we're waiting, in a period of waiting, so that we wouldn't lose the missing piece. For us to have peace in a period of waiting, we need to, number one, we need to be still, we need to surrender, and we need to pray. What does that mean? Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. And notice how here it didn't say, know that I'm God, be still. But in order for you to know God, you need to be still first. You need to be still. And you need to understand and know who God is. See, God's timetables are not our timetables. They're different than our timetables. Expecting God to do things in our time will only set us up for disappointment and worry. It's only going to take our peace away. God has appointed time for everything. That includes the moment we were born, to the moment that we will die, to the moment that we're going to be judged. For every single event in between, God has time appointed. And he wants us to fully surrender to him and seek him. He has actually designed us to live our life surrendered to him. And when we're not, we'll experience the worry and anxiety that a lot of people go through. Be still, surrender, and pray. And then another thing that is a part of this as well is we need to trust in God's character. What does that mean? We need to trust that God is sovereign. We need to trust that God is good. We need to trust that God is faithful. We need to trust that he is all-powerful. We need to trust that he really will do what he said he will do, that his promises are still true. Do you really truly believe that? If you truly believe that, and if you truly trust in who God is and his character, you will have that peace that comes from him. Oftentimes what we do is we try to trust in our own human understanding, in our own wisdom, and what we think is right. But Proverbs 3, 5, 6 says this, trust in the Lord, not in your own understanding. Don't trust in your human wisdom, your own understanding of your own timetables, of your, what you think should be done, how things should be done. Why is it so tempting for us to depend on our own wisdom rather than wisdom of the Almighty, all-powerful, all-wise God? Why? Why? What makes us think that we know better than what he does know is best for us? Seasons of waiting reveal where we're placing our trust. Seasons of waiting reveal where your trust is. God is sovereign over everything. We can trust whatever he does and whatever his timing is, that it will be perfect and ultimately good for us because he knows best and we don't. We can be still. We can rest assured that his will be done. We don't have to rush. We don't have to be in a hurry. We need to learn how to be still, how to enjoy his presence, his words. What waiting does, it develops our faith and trust in him. As God takes us through this process of waiting period, it builds our faith. It builds our trust in him. And Isaiah 64:4 says this, since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. God, all-powerful God, all-loving God, who is your God, your personal God, is sovereign, is faithful, and he acts on your behalf as you wait on him. He moves, he responds, he initiates, he interrupts. He's always good. His timing is always perfect. You can trust him. He's not ignoring you, even though sometimes it feels like that. He's not neglecting you. He has not forgotten you. He loves you. He knows the desires of your heart. And just because maybe right now there's nothing happening, he's present. He's there. While you're waiting, he's working. He's with you. So we need to learn to trust in his timing. We need to learn to trust in his ways. Isaiah 26 says this, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in God forever, for the Lord is your rock eternal. Wow, when we focus on the things that we are waiting for to happen, what's going to happen, oftentimes when we focus on the problems and things we're waiting for, we're going to be prone to complaining, discontentment, bitterness, selfishness, grumbling, losing peace, and all the negative things. But when we focus on God, when our mind is fixed on Him, He will keep our hearts in perfect peace. Our timing is not always God's timing, and our ways are not always God's ways. And you can have peace because God is in control. See, it's really important for us to understand that our posture during a time of waiting can bring us great strength. How's that going to happen? Isaiah 40, 31 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." If you wait on God, He will renew your strength. "They shall mount up like with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." See, God wants to give you the strength that's beyond your ability in your time of waiting as you wait on Him, so that you can mount up, you can run, you can walk with your head up, and you will never lose hope. And you will never lose peace. And you will be fixed on His plan, His purpose for your life, so that no matter what happens, He does not rattle you. Can have a rock drop on your head, it's not going to rattle you, because you know God is in control. So, slowing down, waiting on God is very essential. And I love that verse in Corinthians 13. Love is patient. God is patient with us. Maybe instead of love, you can put your name and you can say, Moses is patient. Anka is patient. Igor is patient. Beth is patient. Amina is patient. Marco is patient. Are you patient to wait on God? Are you really patient waiting on Him to intervene in your life? See, God desires to make our waiting a fruitful season. He wants to transform our hearts in the process of waiting. He wants to bring us close to Him. He wants to reveal more of His goodness, His love, His faithfulness, His character to us as we wait and as we slow down, as we make space for God to work, as we embrace the waiting, He is working. He is moving. He will do what He has promised to do. We can find the missing piece by being still and waiting on the Lord. Because faith and trust in God really means surrendering to His perfect timing and then embracing His flawless will with unwavering patience. You are patient. Be patient. Wait on the Lord. Be still. Wait on the Lord. As we all stand up, I want to pray for you as we close this morning. Do you need more strength to wait on the Lord? Do you need more patience? I want to pray for you. Proverbs 20:22 says this, "I will wait for the Lord, my soul will wait, and in His word I will hope." Wow. Let that be your prayer this week as you go into this Christmas season. I will wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I hope. If you need prayer this morning, you can just raise your hand, I'll pray for you. Father God, thank You for Your word. Jesus, we thank You for the promise that those who wait on You shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. Dear Lord Jesus, we long to rest in Your perfect timing and trust in Your unfailing promises. Jesus, teach us to be still, to be still and to know that you are God. We release all of our fears, all of our impatience, the need to control. We surrender to you and your perfect will. Let our hearts find peace in your promise that the Lord is good to those who wait for him. Jesus, I pray that this season of waiting, whatever we're waiting for, that you would transform it into a season of growth, that you would refine our character, that you would strengthen our faith, that we would reflect your glory to this world. And as we wait, that you would fill us with your peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you for your faithfulness. You have declared, the plans I have for you are plans for good, to give hope and the future. So help us, God, to trust you wholeheartedly, knowing that your ways are higher than ours, knowing that your timing is perfect, and knowing that you are working even when we don't feel like it, that you're moving, and knowing that you are faithful, and that you will be faithful till the end. We surrender to you all of our fears.